The ongoing conflict in Syria is not just taking lives, it's shaving years off people's life expectancy, too. That's according to a study led by University of Washington professor Ali Mokhtad. The study, published this month, says life expectancy for men in Syria decreased by 6 years between 2011 and 2013, while women lost 5 years in that short time. And Mokhtad says that's an important indicator of how badly the country is suffering.
It's like a pulse, like taking somebody's pulse. It tells you what's happening in a country. It's one of the indicators. If it drops, there is something going on. If it's going up, there is progress in terms of health. When you look at what happened in Syria and look at going back, there has been a tremendous increase in life expectancy in Syria from 1990 to 2011 before the uprising. And that sudden drop is a warning that there is an emergency going on, which we all know about. But coupled with the past and what the future is, that's an indication of we have a serious problem that we have to deal with in Syria.
What was your reaction when you saw these numbers and found that the war has decreased life expectancy in Syria so quickly?
First, it comes as a big shock for you, knowing that, you know, in Syria, infant mortality and maternal mortality is increasing at a time where it's decreasing everywhere, even in sub-Saharan Africa. Also, we keep in mind that we stopped at 2013 and the war is still going on and we are in 2016. So what I'm reporting is an underestimate of what's really happening right now in Syria. And it makes you put things into perspective that this is a disaster unfolding in front of all of us and there is nothing been done about it.
The immediate impacts of this conflict are hard to miss. People are dying. They are being injured in this conflict now. But in the long term, why is the conflict causing this decrease in life expectancy?
So there are two things. One is you're saying that people are dying from the fighting and the war. But there are also many people who are dying silently from malnutrition, of lack of services. So unfortunately in media, we get the attention. We say so many people died from an explosion, from a shelling. But there are many people who are dying quietly, unfortunately, because of lack of services. And then if you keep that in mind, that there has been a destruction of all the infrastructure of public health, and you have a generation right now that hasn't received immunization or the services that they deserve, and they're weak, and they're more prone to diseases. And that will continue in the future unless it's really targeted and a major intervention happens.
What parts of the infrastructure are you really concerned about that are breaking down here?
So for you, all the hospitals, you know, there are reports in Syria that about 50% of the hospitals are not functioning, or even if they are functioning, they're not functioning the way they should. So one is the hospital, which is the basic, the medical services, but also you look at the infrastructure for roads. I mean, if you want to deliver supplies, you need safety for the drivers. You need the electricity because immunization, you know, operating room, they need electricity. All of these have to be rebuilt in order for you to improve health.
Clean water?
Clean water is a major thing. You know, there is a major destruction of clean water. Fluoride has not been used. Chlorine has not been used. And there are so many outbreaks and infection because people are taking surface water. I mean, people have to drink and have to wash their clothes and wash their food. And there is no clean water. And, you know, you ask them to boil it, but sometimes they cannot even find wood or gas to boil their water. So this will take a long time to rebuild. And a government, when a government, you know, all the resources of the Syrian government have been depleted in the war. And then when they start rebuilding, government tend, you know, like in a business model, they will start building what makes them money. Cell phones, for example, will be rebuilt first because there is a monthly income from cell phone. You pay to use your cell phone. But when you talk about water, what you're asking, that's a long-term return on your investment. And that will take a backseat, unfortunately.
You've been studying the health impacts of the conflict in Syria for some time. What are you hearing from people there now and what they're going through?
Right now, most people are trying to stay alive and they're struggling to find food. Basically, when it comes to medication, for some of them, it's a luxury and they're cutting down on their meds and they're not able to get that. But what you hear from is people are suffering from diseases that we felt in the Middle East that we have eradicated those and controlled them for a long time. So I just came from Lebanon where we have refugees in Lebanon and some of my friends are telling me they're seeing stuff that they haven't learned in medical school, this young generation. And it's the older guys, old doctors who have been dealing with it in the past that are coming back now, which is sad. One, there are also a lot of issues that are happening that we don't talk about much in the Arab world. Mental health. You have people who are suffering quietly from mental health. And even a refugee coming to Lebanon, you know, hearing a tire blow or, you know, any explosion, even if it is a firecracker, it brings a lot of memories, and they are dealing quietly with mental health, depression, and anxiety. At a time when all the agencies who are in Syria, all what they are trying to do is to make sure you get a vaccine or food, or you are rehydrated, or if you are wasted, you get the food that you need. But nobody is in his or her mind that we also need to bring medication for mental health and start screening people. So there is a lot of problems that are going on that people are dealing with quietly without any support.
You know, many of us may pick up the newspaper or check the latest news headlines, and it can seem very far away. Why should Americans care about the breakdown of a public health system in a country that's over 6,000 miles away?
It's a very good question. You know, it's a small world. I'll give you an example. Ebola, for example. Countries were not prepared for Ebola, and look what happened. And we had Ebola cases in the U.S. Zika virus. We have people who have Zika coming here. We live in a time and age where I could be on a plane in Lebanon or in Syria, and I could be here 10, 15 hours later in Europe or in the U.S. So as a U.S. citizen, you know, as a father who has a daughter here, to my advantage is to catch a disease in a country and deal with it before it gets to my own country here. So it's a problem. It's our problem. It's in our backyard, whether we like it or not. It could be here in 15 hours if we don't deal with it back and catch it early on. It's a bigger problem than what we feel.
What can we do about it?
There is a lot that we can do. I mean, this country is wonderful. We have a history of being able to rebuild and help. We have a lot of agencies here who have been very active and have a lot of experience, you know, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, USAID. We could bring not only our power, financial power in rebuilding, but our know-how. There is a dire need for rebuilding health systems in the Middle East, in Syria, Yemen, Libya. And we need to have a roadmap for fixing all these problems, health problems. And what we are concerned about here, and that's why we publish and we scream, quite honestly, is hopefully after the war ends, and hopefully soon, and the media is out of there, we don't forget the people of Syria and the region. And we still are willing to help them, and we should, to our own benefit.
Ali Mokhtad is the director of Middle Eastern Initiatives and a professor of global health at the University of Washington. He led a study that found life expectancy dropped in Syria by at least 5 years between 2011 and 2013. He says life expectancy has likely dropped even more over the past 3 years.